Well, good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you, James, for your prayer. Thank you, Josh, for leading. It's an absolute pleasure. It's always a pleasure for Jan and I to come here and be with you at Tarryn Baptist Church because we're family, and it's lovely to come and see family here in Tarryn. So thank you for your welcome. If you want a title for this morning's message, this is it. I've chosen The Calling of a Lifetime. I like ambitious titles. Aim high, that's the plan. And if you remember Phil's message to us last week here, winding up your series on justice, his message title was, How Then Shall We Live? That was the title. And right in the middle of Phil's message, because I've listened to it, Phil said this, Jesus calls us to follow him. And that is the calling of a lifetime that we're going to look at this morning. So I want to read to you, then we'll pray, and then we'll see what God has to say to us through his word. The reading is in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 17. If you've got a Bible in front of you, it'd be great to turn to it as well. It's on page 1014. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we've left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last, first. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you that you have not left us alone in the world. You've spoken to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You've given us these words in the scriptures to guide us and encourage us. And so we pray right now that you would give us the gift of wisdom to hear what you're saying and the power of your Spirit to do what it says. And we pray this for every single one of us here, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to think about at the beginning of this is running. Have we got another? There we are. Okay. It's a running man and his sons, taken about 100 years ago, actually, as you can probably tell. That's my three boys, Jan's three boys, Mark, Charlie, and Ben. What I want to think about at the beginning of this is running, because running is like a symbol of our age. And some of us, and I put myself in this category, we run because we're frequently late. Some of us run for fun. Some of us are terribly serious runners. And often you see lone runners, don't you, running on their own, having quality time with their iPods. Do you know, recently, someone did some research that I saw, did some research when we don't run, and measured the speed of people walking over 10 years. And they found that people are walking 10% faster than they walked 10 years ago. How about that? We're a society on the move, always chasing the next thing. We're in a hurry. And we can wave goodbye to that picture. Thank you very much. So if you look at the beginning of this reading that we read in verse 17 in Mark chapter 10, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him. He's a running man. And I want to know, why is this guy running? I mean, I presume he's not jogging. Probably he's keen. That's why he runs up to Jesus. And why not? This is a guy who speaks words of truth. He heals people dramatically. And several times in Mark's gospel, people run to Jesus. They're keen to get to know him. And I wonder as well if he runs because he's busy. We can't be sure. But what we do know about this guy is that he's young. Now, Mark doesn't tell us in this passage that we read that he's young, but Matthew in his gospel gives a parallel account of this story and explains that he is young. And we know that he's rich, verse 22 tells us. It says he had great wealth. What else do we know about him? Well, he's been busy. He's been busy constructing a successful identity, if you like, putting together a successful self. Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. And as anybody in that culture would have said, yeah, I know the commandments. And he says, all these I've kept since I was a boy. But even though he's got all these, he's young, he's rich, he's met many people's expectations, he wants more. He wants to finish this thing off. Because in verse 17, we meet him and he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want it all. Here's somebody who's chasing everything. He's young, he's rich, he's impressive, but he wants eternal life as well. He's chasing everything. So what do you give a person who has everything? Answer, shelves. You can never have too much storage space. Keep up with me. And this guy's like that. He's got everything. And if he came into today's culture, you'd be impressed. He probably made his parents very proud. I mean, he says that he's honored them since he was a boy. And what happens is, Jesus calls him. That's what I want us to look at just a little bit now. What happens when the call of a lifetime comes to those who are chasing everything? And specifically, I want to say, what happens? Why does it happen? And then, how might we respond? So first of all, what happens? What is the call of a lifetime? Well, we have it in verse 21. One thing you lack, Jesus says to him. That's a funny thing to say to such an impressive young man. You lack. I mean, nobody else would have thought that this guy lacked much. But Jesus says, no, no, no. One thing you lack. But then I guess it is only one thing. And if I was him, I'd probably be thinking, one thing? I bet I can do that. I've done a lot already. Hit me with it. Go on. What's the one thing? Tell me what it is. Okay, says Jesus. Go. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. I think that's five things, actually, not just one thing. Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, come, follow me. And that is the call of a lifetime to this guy. I mean, think what he's called to for a minute. Jesus is saying to him, go. That's the first thing. Jesus is saying to him, you're here with me. I want you to pop off and I want you to take your stuff. I mean, this guy has great wealth, we read. So what would that be? I mean, it could be he's got personal stuff, clothes, cloaks, jars of perfume, expensive food stores. Could be that he's got land, barns, buildings, cattle, servants that work for him. And Jesus says, go. I want you to take all that stuff and sell it. And then you get this big pile of money. And with this big pile of money that you have, I want you to give it to the poor. To the people who've lost their land. Because historically, every Jewish family inherited a plot of land for themselves. But some people were forced to sell their land just to make ends meet. Give your money to the people who daily face that choice. Are we going to feed the kids enough or not? I want you to give your money to those people, Jesus says. What an incredible invitation Jesus is giving. So that's three. Go, sell everything, give to the poor. And then I want you to come back and follow me, which is also incredible. Because Jesus is in this gang of people and they do crazy stuff. I mean, they get into boats and there's a storm and then amazing stuff happens. They feed thousands of people with a few loaves and fishes and they have masses of leftovers. And they're actually on their way to Jerusalem where things are going to get utterly dangerous. And Jesus says to him, I want you on that team. Isn't that an amazing invitation? I want you to go, get rid of all that stuff, bless the poor, change the economic situation where you live, and then I want you to come and be with me, with this group of people. And that is the call of a lifetime. But it doesn't go down well, does it? I mean, it doesn't go down well with this guy, because the truth is, he's thinking, I just wanted eternal life. Actually, I just wanted you to say what I need to do for eternal life. I didn't expect you to rearrange my furniture. I just wanted to give me, you know, the religious stuff. I mean, to be honest, we suspect that he probably thought he already had eternal life. And he just wanted Jesus to say, do you know what, son? You're doing all right by me. Off you pop. But no, there's a problem here. You see, I think this guy wanted the complete set. Okay? And let me illustrate that. When I was a kid, a lot of us used to collect picture cards of footballers, which came in packets of sweet cigarettes. Okay? The whole set was 100 cards. And we'd swap cards between us to try and get the whole set. And inevitably, there was always one card that was elusive. No matter how many packets of sweet cigarettes you bought, always the same player was missing. And funnily enough, I seem to remember that that player was John Charles, who was a famous Welsh international centre-half that probably most of you have never heard of. Anyway, the rich young man is like that. He says, I've collected all this stuff, all these commandments I've kept since I was a boy. I've got the money. I'm still young. I just want you to give me the one little thing that's still missing. And Jesus says, I've got the one thing that completes the set. Great. And Jesus says, I'll swap you. What's the swap? All the other cards. And the guy's stumped. At this, we read, the disciples were amazed at his words. To those who are chasing everything, Jesus gives the call of a lifetime, which is this: leave everything. Stop running. Stop running after this stuff. So that is the what. How about the why and the how? So why? Why is the call of a lifetime like this? I mean, if this guy was literally collecting football cards and then Jesus says, if you want the last one, you've got to give all the rest away, what a nasty thing to do. But it says in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, what Mark is suggesting to us is that it's because he loved him that he asked him to give everything up. How about that? Jesus said, in effect, now I'm going to do something which is really going to bless you and help you. He wasn't envious of this guy. He wasn't angry with him. He loved him. And it was because he loved him that he asked him to leave everything. How can we possibly understand that? You know, I think the thing about being rich, and actually I class all of us here in the category of being rich. If you doubt that you're rich, go to globalrichlist.com on the internet, okay? Globalrichlist.com, and you will see how rich you are in the whole world. And I bet you'll be blown away. Globalrichlist.com. But the thing about being rich, I think it kind of promises two things, among other things. And the first is this: you'll be free. I mean, when you're rich, you've got options. I have a computer. I can access the internet. What shall I look at? I've got a car. I'm going to go out. Where shall I go? What city shall I live in? What career shall I pursue? I'm rich, I'm free. There's freedom in being rich. And the second thing about that rich promises is to make your mark. And you're not just going along with the mass of other people, but you can choose a job that counts. Maybe get a dream life. Make a big difference. You won't be forgotten if you're rich. I mean, the newspapers in the UK even produce an annual list of people who are rich. As if just by being rich, people are making their mark. So being rich promises to be free and to make our mark. And Jesus looks at this guy and he loves him and he says, do you want to know what real freedom is? Do you want to know what real freedom is? You think you're free? Give it away. That's freedom. You want to make your mark? You think you're going to make your mark by getting brilliant grades or having a glossy appearance or a busy life or a house and kids or having a hospital wing named after you? You want to make your mark, says Jesus? Bless the poor and you will make your mark. And he says, and come and follow me, Jesus says. Follow me. That's exactly what Jesus said to his closest disciples when he called them. This guy is getting the full call. I mean, he could have ended up writing a gospel. We could have had five gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Barnaby. He could have healed someone. I mean, all the rest of the disciples were at it. Imagine that. He thought he had power and influence. I bet he never healed anyone. He could have been one of Jesus' disciples. He could have become the picture of generosity that would be remembered for all time by millions of people. And I know that because it happened to another man. Jesus went to another rich man and said, I'm coming to your house for dinner. And the man said, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. Anyone I've cheated, I'm going to pay back 10 times what I've taken. And Jesus said, salvation's come to this house. And we know that happened. And we know the guy's name. His name was Zacchaeus. And you'll find his story in Luke's gospel. But this guy, we don't even know his name. Do you notice that? We don't know his name. He's been forgotten forever. Do you really want to make your mark? Do you really want to be free? That's what Jesus is saying. And this young man might think he was going to get it through his riches, but he won't. And here's the terrible thing. as Mark says, you know, he went away, his face fell, he went away sad. Crazy thing. He's standing in front of the most loving, compassionate, inspiring person who has ever lived. And he feels sad because this person is asking him to join their team. Think about that. He's standing actually in front of God himself, and God is saying to him, come, and he walks away. And the call of a lifetime to those who are chasing everything is stop running. I mean, some of us are still striving perhaps to live up to what our parents expect. Some of us compete with our peers. Some of us are so busy, we feel we're just one step away from exhaustion. And that's the cycle of our life. And we don't see how it's going to stop. And the incredible truth about Christianity is that Jesus looks at you and he loves you. And he says there's a place for you. He calls his disciples, in verse 25, he calls them his children. There's a place for you in my family, says Jesus. And there's a power that's going to help you. Jesus says, look, in verse 27, with humans, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I can help this happen. You think it's a scary thing for me to ask? I've got the power that can make it happen. And Jesus has a promise that he gives us. We read it. Jesus said, if you think you can outgive me and sacrifice all your stuff, like I'd leave you on the scrap heap with nothing, know this, says Jesus, that there is more that you will discover through leaving everything than you ever had in the first place. There's more that you will discover through leaving everything than you ever had in the first place. Isn't that amazing? Jesus looks at you. He loves you. He gives you the call of a lifetime because he loves you, because he wants you to be on his team. Now, if you want to know how Jesus can make that call, let me point out just one more thing. There are two rich young men in this story. There's the one who runs up to Jesus, and there's the one who answers him. Jesus was a rich young man. In the letter of 2 Corinthians and chapter 8 that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, so he was a rich man, yet for your sakes, Paul says, he became poor. And Paul's talking, of course, about the amazing fact of God becoming flesh. But also, Jesus lived on earth, not the life of a wealthy person, a life of comfort and self-satisfaction and self-service, but a life of striving and cost and pouring himself out for other people. And of course, Paul's referring to the cross, where Jesus surrendered everything to the cruel torture of the Roman soldiers. And so Paul continued, though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. So when Jesus said to this man, go and sell everything, he was not asking him to do something which Jesus himself isn't prepared to do. In fact, he's actually on his way to Jerusalem to get on and do it. So, what? The call of a lifetime. Why is the call like that? The call of a lifetime is because Jesus loves us. And last of all, how? How do we follow? Well, we follow, in a nutshell, by giving up everything. and letting God bless us. That's how he explains it in verse 29. He says, look, you give up stuff, you let it go, but you know what? You're going to receive different things back and new things back. So what does that mean in practice? Let me spell it out very briefly. We follow this call by giving up our life, first of all. God gave us our life in the first place, and then he calls us to offer it back to him so that he can use as the maker sees best. I mean, Jesus poured out his life for us, and then we offer our lives back to him. And I've had the privilege in my life of meeting a few people who've had nothing. I've worked with Christians in Southern Africa, for example, who live in real poverty, living for God with joy and enthusiasm and contentment. I've met recovering alcoholics, and these people have hit rock bottom, and yet they've given their life to God. And I've been amazed, I've been literally amazed by them, the peace and the love and the joy which they've received. And I've also met and I've spoken with people who outwardly have everything, well-dressed, good qualifications, rich, and inside, utterly empty. And if you give your life to Jesus and in response for all he's done, he gives you hope and meaning and purpose and a thousand other things besides. And maybe it's a decision you haven't made. Let me encourage you this morning to consider it with all seriousness. Secondly, give your ambitions to God. There was a guy called Charles Studd. And this guy was the son of a wealthy father. And he studied at Cambridge University. And at the age of 21, he played cricket for England. He was all set for a very impressive life. He'd already become a Christian, but at the age of 24, he felt the call of God in a new way. And he said this, I know that cricket wouldn't last. Honour wouldn't last. Nothing in this world would last. But it's worthwhile living for the world to come. And so he left England. He went to work for a missionary society. He set up mission work in China and India and Africa after he'd surrendered, as it were, everything. And in fact, he blessed thousands and thousands upon thousands of people, and he raised up leaders. But interestingly, if you go to Wikipedia to find out about Charles Studd, it tells you, actually, that he left everything to follow Jesus. But it still has to put in the right-hand column, batting style, right-handed. Bowling style, right arm, medium pace. Wikipedia's missed the point. I mean, I don't know what God will call you to if you surrender your ambitions to him. And it's not a competition with C.T. Studd. But I do believe that if you surrender your ambitions to God, he will use you in amazing ways beyond what Wikipedia could possibly comprehend. So your life, your ambitions, give up stuff. If there's one thing we need in our land, it's to hear how to live more simply and more sustainably and more generously. Because the Apostle Paul elsewhere in the letter of 2 Corinthians describes himself as being poor but making many rich, is what he says. Paul says, sometimes I have more stuff, sometimes I have less stuff, but I make many rich. What an ambition for life. And lastly, time. We follow God with our lives, our ambitions, our stuff, and our time. And I mention this last one because maybe you're thinking, look, I'd love to follow God with everything. Maybe, as I said earlier, you're considering becoming a Christian and that's what you've got to consider. Or maybe you are a Christian, and I expect most of us are. And you're thinking, how do I do this? How do I make it work for me? Let me drive it just down to one point as we finish this morning. When I was at university, my time management was a mess. I was always playing catch-up, particularly at exam time. However, I had some very good friends who, even at exam time, every Sunday would stop. And I would be busily getting on with my revision schedule, but Sunday was their Sabbath, and they would take a day to rest. Sunday was their time to meet with God, to go to church, and I learned a huge lesson from them. And if we want to know in practical terms what it means to follow God, then can I give you this challenge? Very simply, give God a day of the week back to rest, to do something restorative, enjoy, to gather with his family. Doesn't really matter where in the grand scheme of things. But what does matter is this, that we give God back his time. And every one of us can do that. So Jesus looks at you and me. He loves you. He gives you the call of a lifetime. And if you follow him and put your trust in him, if you're willing to put everything into his hands, he will bless you. He will set you free. And you will make your mark. Can I lead us in a prayer as we finish, and then I'll hand back to Josh. Let's pray together. Father God, our worship hasn't ended. Our worship has just begun. You're with us every moment of the day. Would you please help us now to offer you the worship you desire, to follow you, not simply to believe, not simply to declare our faith, but to keep on following where you lead. Help us to hear your voice when you speak, to understand what you're asking of us. Help us, God, through our caring and our sharing and our loving and our listening and our accepting and understanding, to bring hope and healing and strength and encouragement to a broken and hurting world. Amen.